Bonjour tout le monde, nous sommes les étudiantes à Bruxelles, ici de parler de l'expérience de l'étranger. And that means, hey everybody, we are the students in Brussels here to talk about our experiences abroad. So, welcome to our final discussion. I'm here, it's Kaylee by the way. I'm here with Monica.
Hey.
And Christian.
Yo.
And we're here to talk about how we're going to make this experience impactful in our practice back home. So, if you've gotten tired of hearing my voice already, get ready for a few more minutes of it. For me personally, I'm fortunate in that I've gotten to travel a lot. So, for me, it kind of reinforces the theme that every person that we meet, whether it's in the clinic or in the world, comes to us with a variety of cultures, backgrounds, religions, whatever it is that makes up who they are. And we always have to approach every situation with a new person as kind of a blank slate, coming in without preconceived ideas, judgments, kind of throwing that all out the window. And that can be really hard in America because we're so used to doing things that when we meet someone, we already have these preconceived ideas of how we initiate gestures, how we say hello, how we introduce ourselves. And you always have to remember that everyone you meet has different experiences that influences basically how they live their lives. So that kind of translates to something that I feel like I've learned here is that the people in Brussels are really good about adapting their practice to meet the needs of their patients. And I think you guys can definitely attest to that in the sense that because it's such a diverse place, you know, they have people from all over the world. And instead of, you know, someone coming to our supervisor's clinic, which is, he's primarily a Dutch speaker, that's his language of preference. If a patient comes in and they need another language, he immediately adapts to the patient's needs. And I think that I would like to be a little bit better about that as a future therapist, just trying to, you know, when a patient comes to PT, if the practice that I typically use isn't effective or isn't appropriate in meeting their needs, then I need to figure out what I can do to accommodate to make it more effective for them. Would you guys agree?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's something that, especially as either a student or a new graduate, is something that is, you know, definitely a challenge that we're gonna have to encounter. But it's survive in advance, and I think that's just something that we're gonna have to to learn about. Excuse the ambulance here.
Our lovely European emergency vehicles. But yeah, that's like, it's easy to say, but I feel like we get in these robot modes where we're like, this is the way we do things, and if someone can't adapt to us, we automatically assume, okay, well, like, then they're not gonna do well in PT.
Right, or it's their fault, or,
yeah,
I agree.
So I think just trying to be more reflective and like, why is this patient not excelling? Why are their needs not being met? And trying to adapt your own practice as well as just educating your patient.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I forget the other thing I was going to talk about. I do remember. It was, you go into yours.
Yeah, so kind of tag teaming on that, just an experience that I had that I wanted to share with you guys that kind of intertwines with what Kaylee just mentioned about with adapting to your patient. So at our outpatient ortho clinic, I witnessed something that was pretty unique and interesting that I haven't seen in practice before, but I think is something that could definitely be implemented and really simple to do, and that's really just patient education. And I know we're taught a lot about that in school, but just seeing it done in the practice so fluently and in a unique way is just something that's really cool. So what I saw was at this outpatient clinic, they see a lot of, you know, back pain, which is pretty standard in the States as well. But so for their chronic low back pain patients who are, you know, have that centralized pain, they on eval before even touching them, they have this PowerPoint presentation that's about like 20 slides or so, and it really just kind of educates the patient on back pain, movement of the spine, how, you know, MRIs don't always indicate, you know, pain.
Things that we know.
Things that we know, but we don't always teach, or it'll slip our mind, or, you know, even just lifting techniques and why lifting this way is worse than, you know, how that can affect your spine and everything like that. So I just thought that was really cool that that's something that they implement, and it's something that the therapist says they see, you know, good results with. And I think it's really difficult to kind of get that buy-in from the patient for patient education. But yeah, I just thought that was a really, really cool
way. How long
did
it take?
Well, he kind of just ran through it with me really quickly between patients, and so I don't know exactly, but he said that it would take typically like 15 minutes out of their 30-minute session. So, which is a significant, you know, chunk of time.
But I think that's so cool, because, like, how many patients get to sit down with a doctor or someone that they, like, see as their healthcare provider and just talk about something for 15 minutes, education? Because I feel like so many people leave the doctor's office and they're like, well, they told me I had this, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what the trajectory is like.
Yeah.
And just taking that time to really talk about it and answer questions they have and give them the knowledge that you have is so valuable.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And something cool too is that, like, the PowerPoint wasn't like just words, it was mainly just pictures, and so it's just really, you know, I hate to say dumbing it down, but it's just really kind of getting to that basic foundation so that the patient can understand, someone who doesn't speak, you know, medical language. But also another kind of experience that I witnessed too was just kind of tying into that as well, is a patient with tennis elbow. Granted, this wasn't an evaluation, I think it was just a treatment session, but the therapist took the time to check out the ergonomics of the patient, because he was a office worker, and he sat him down at the desk and, you know, kind of mimicked his work environment and just provided, you know, tips and ways to, you know, prevent that tennis elbow, which I thought, again, was just a unique thing. I know that, you know, it may be implemented in the States, but I haven't seen something like that. So just patient education, just the general theme, I think was something that I would like to take away from this experience use with my patients in the future.
Did you want to go back to yours?
No, you can go ahead.
So mine's a little bit broader, I guess. After being with Martin one day, that's our supervisor guy, Martin was talking about, everyone in Brussels kind of lives pretty close to their family, but he ended up moving to a town called Jette. And that's where he is working and living, and so he made a big point that, like, he was really, like, a lot of people don't always want to live in the same place they work, but he, like, really enjoys that just because he feels like it's a better connection with his patients, and, like, he doesn't mind running into them, like, at the grocery store or just, like, around town when he's not working. And so I kind of appreciated that just because I'm from, like, a smaller town in South Carolina, and so, I mean, we're, like, running into people all the time. And so just, like, bringing that sense of community kind of to the clinic is nice, just, like, especially, like, living in it, being involved, I feel like it's, you have better resources for your patients, a better connection, it builds, I mean, better rapport, and I think trust between the two, which I really appreciated and I enjoy.
And I feel like you said, one thing that I noticed, you said resources.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're integrated into a community, you can help your patients better because you can, like, send them to the right places rather than being so removed from knowing what's around you and being able to, like, really find the things that they need. What was the other thing? It keeps escaping my mind.
Talked about adapting. I don't remember.
Oh, I do remember. Wait. It's coming back to me. Oh, okay. So one thing, Martin's taught us a lot of good stuff. But his sessions are, like, pretty short. So he has 30-minute sessions with all of his patients, and, you know, every time he teaches us, he always says, like, oh, like, what would you have done differently in this session that I didn't do? Which I commend, because it must be so hard to be a practicing clinician of, like, over 10 years and ask a student, like, what did I do wrong? Like, right. constantly wanting to learn and better yourself. But sometimes we'll mention things here or there. Like, we've noticed they don't do a lot of, like, manual muscle testing or, you know, testing muscle length. And essentially what he was telling us is, like, he could do all of these things, but what he specializes in is targeting what the patient needs with him in those 30 minutes that he has. And he's going to be as specific as he can with all of his patients. Anything that could be done at home or that could be taught to the patient to do outside of the clinic, he saved that for those spaces, which I think is wise because, you know, time management is huge for us and mm-hmm. we need to be as productive as we can. But not only that, we need to get our patients better.
Yeah.
And it kind of reinforces that idea that physical therapy is not just one-on-one when you're with the person. It's also kind of that lifestyle approach that, like, it's a two-way street, 50-50. The patient's going to have to do stuff at home. You're going to have to do stuff when the patient's there with you. But it's really about maximizing your time when you're one-on-one.
Yeah. That's, yeah, 100%. I agree with that. It's really cool. Another thing that you kind of just reminded me of was at Adrian's clinic, at the outpatient clinic, they would see their patient for 30 minutes doing all, you know, the manual, everything that the patient can't do at home, like you were just saying. And then for, I think, another 30 minutes or even think it was timed how long they were doing their own exercises.
Yeah.
But it was just unsupervised exercises in the gym area, which, you know, makes sense because they get their manual, they get everything that the therapist needs to see them for, and then they just do their exercises while the therapist sees another patient.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really efficient system. I think it's great for the patient because it's not like someone's just like watching you. Granted, you know, sometimes people don't always
exercise
correctly, but
because like the therapists are there. If they have questions or they're not doing it right, the therapist can be like, hold on, you're doing this, let me fix it. Yeah. Okay, continue.
Yep.
Because they're constantly walking through.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not there, but it's almost like supervised, but like in a very less helicopter way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like the lifeguard at a swimming pool. Yeah. It's very chill.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I liked it. The gym at their place was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I think those are the primary big ideas that we discussed. Yeah. And we've really enjoyed learning from everyone here and kind of integrating what we know already. And I think we're excited to take it back home. So thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.